Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Kyle, his mom squinted in the twilight across the playground. It's time to come home. Okay, 9-year-old Kyle called back. I'm coming. He grabbed his jacket and books and scooped up his battered soccer ball. Why are you so late? His mom began. You know, I worry when you're not home on time. And your homework, when are you going to do that? Kyle kicked a stone as he walked. We just wanted to play a real game, was all. But wasn't today your PE day at school? Nah, they stopped that. Something about saving money, the teacher said. We had a movie instead. From a parent's perspective, what should we know about the importance of physical education in our children's education? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest works full-time in the area of physical education. Cheryl Richardson is the Senior Program Manager for Physical Education for the National Association for Sport and Physical Education. She spent 12 years teaching elementary physical education before coming to this position. Cheryl is a single mother of two children, a 16-year-old son and a 12-year-old daughter. Welcome to Parents Perspective, Cheryl.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
In an era of cutbacks hitting education especially hard, what's happening to physical education in schools?
Well, in a lot of cases, physical education is being reduced or eliminated, or in some cases, schools are getting very creative in providing it. Typically, physical education is ruled in minutes. For example, schools are required to provide so many minutes of physical education per week. So rather than having a certified teacher teaching a physical education class, schools are starting to count things like the time that students walk between classes, or they will have non-certified teachers teaching PE. For example, they'll have a classroom teacher take the children outside and count that as physical education time.
So they take them outside, they could stand around and just talk to each other.
Exactly. And a lot of times kids will have their little, electronic games or things like that, so they're not actually moving or practicing their social skills.
Well, one line of reasoning goes, well, kids can always run around after school. Why isn't this a legitimate area for a budget cut? What would be your response?
Well, physical education is very different than running around. First and foremost, teaching and learning should be occurring in physical education class, and that isn't always happening when kids are just running around. In physical education class, children have the opportunity to learn and practice a variety of skills, motor skills and fitness skills. They also have the opportunity to learn and practice social responsibility skills. And physical education is a unique environment. And when kids are sitting in their desks, there isn't social interaction. They're not practicing how to get along with other people or make decisions or solve problems as often as they are in a physical education class. The other thing I wanted to mention is that in April, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention released a summary of all of the research that's been done on the relationship between academic performance and physical fitness, and they're finding that there is a positive relationship in most cases. So if we're going to place high academic demands on them, it's also very important that they're demonstrating a level of physical fitness that's appropriate.
It's funny, this whole business, the way physical education now is being taught and focused, sounds like a different planet from when we were certainly growing up, where physical education was really basically directed at the athletically talented kids.
Oh, it's very, very different. You'll see a shift from team sports and individual sports to more lifetime activities. Things like skateboarding, golf, rock climbing. PE teachers now are taking an opportunity to expose kids to a wider variety in hopes of inspiring them or finding something that they really enjoy that they can do outside of the school day and perhaps throughout their lifetime.
They call it physical education for life now?
Absolutely.
With obesity and general lack of what we'd call physical fitness on the rise in school-age kids, what are some current programs targeting these problems?
Well, there are many. And first and foremost, and probably the most famous, is Michelle Obama's Let's Move initiative that focuses on a variety of aspects of childhood obesity, nutrition, as well as physical activity. The association that I work for, the National Association for Sport and Physical Education, also has a Let's Move in School initiative, which is sort of a supplement to Michelle Obama's Let's Move, and that it really focuses on what we refer to as a comprehensive school physical activity program. And that is taking advantage of every opportunity throughout the school day to get our kids moving. So we're looking at things like kids getting to school on their own power, on a bicycle, walking, perhaps on inline skates or on a skateboard. We're looking at fitness breaks throughout the day. We're looking at making sure that they have good recess and also physical education, which would be the cornerstone of a comprehensive school physical activity program.
How would children use fitness breaks during the day?
In some cases, a language arts block can be a long time in a student's day. For example, it can be a 75-minute period of time. That's a very long time for a student to sit in a desk and focus their attention. Even for adults, that can be a long time to sit and focus. So if a teacher has an opportunity to have the kids stand up and do some sort of movement, that can refocus their attention and keep their attention longer so that they can make the best use of that language time.
It reminds me of when we're all sitting in a lecture as grown-ups. If you sit for too long and you don't get a chance to stand up and move around or stretch or something or other, your concentration begins to go away.
Exactly. Many corporations are going to that same type of thing. The Kimberly-Clark Corporation that makes a lot of our paper products, they have a meeting requirement where adults cannot sit for longer than 75 minutes. And they have a link on their website that the presenter can just click on and all the participants stand up at the conference table, do some movement, and once, just like children, then they can refocus and get the oxygen flowing to their brain so they can be better prepared for the rest of the meeting.
If you could list the top components of a good PE program in schools, what would they be?
Well, first and foremost, a highly qualified teacher. As I mentioned before, a lot of schools are trying to skirt a regular physical education class by offering it with someone who isn't certified to teach PE, and that brings up all sorts of issues. Physical education teachers are prepared to handle kids moving in space. They know what to look for as supervision. They know how to make sure that the kids are active most of the time. They know how to manage equipment so that children have lots of opportunities to practice their skills. Second of all, they need a sequential progressive curriculum. And what I mean by that is there needs to be a logical order of events. So if they learn this skill in first grade, in second grade, they should review that skill and then move on to something a little more difficult so that it's a logical progression. I know when I was a kid, we played the same basketball for all of the years that I had physical education in school, and we repeated the same skills. There wasn't a progression. We want to see progression so that kids are constantly being challenged and have the opportunity to develop their skills. And as I mentioned earlier, the physical education curriculum should encompass a wide variety of skills so that everybody can find something that's appealing to them. Some kids don't want to throw and catch. They don't want to play with a ball or on a team. They might want to skateboard, or they might want to rock climb or swim or some other thing. So variety is the spice of life. Mm-hmm. Technology would be another element of a high-quality PE program.
What does that mean?
Well, there's been more and more of an influx of technology in physical education. For example, you'll see children using pedometers to record their activity.
And that's the little walking devices.
Right. It keeps track of how many steps they've taken to make sure that they're getting enough activity in PE, that they're not just standing around waiting their turn, those kinds of things. Heart rate monitors are another tool that is used readily in PE to make sure that children are exercising at the appropriate intensity. And one of my favorite examples is a very popular fitness test is the 1 mile run. And you're probably familiar with that from your days in PE. Well, it's hard to tell how hard children are working when you're just watching them. But if you're monitoring their heart rate, a child who's very athletic might be getting the same workout as somebody who's overweight and less fit who's walking. So it's not about the time that it takes them to complete a mile. It's about the appropriateness of the intensity. So it really individualizes PE so that not everybody's expected to do exactly the same thing.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on physical education for life. Thank you.
popular new book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents, by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We're talking with Cheryl Richardson of the National Association for Sport and Physical Education about PE for life. It sounds like PE and health sort of go hand in hand these days.
They absolutely do. Mm-hmm.
So that means that a PE unit could also have a health unit connected with it. Is that right? The kids would learn certain things about nutrition or movement or whatever.
Right. In an ideal situation, health messages are infused within the PE curriculum, and highly qualified PE teachers can take advantage also of those teachable moments.
So what happens in schools that don't have highly qualified teachers for PE?
Well, their children are really done a disservice. They're missing out on this key piece of their education.
Do other teachers take them outside and say, run around the blacktop or whatever?
Mm-hmm. Or they will set up traditional games such as kickball or, you know, things that really don't provide a lot of opportunities for children to learn and practice their skills.
And certainly those kinds of things don't individualize, just like you were just describing.
Right. And they don't allow for a lot of participation. If there are 10 kids on a team, only one person might be kicking the ball. Everyone else is standing there waiting.
The other thing that I'm hearing is there seems to be a shift these days between the old model of competition and a new model of cooperation. Is that right?
That is correct. While there is a place for competition, because as we know, life is competitive and it's important that we learn skills to cope and things like perseverance, those kinds of things are important lessons. Physical education is much bigger than that. It's about challenging yourself and not just being competitive on a team, but challenging yourself to do better. So it's about challenging yourself and recognizing what your talents and abilities are and what ways that you can improve yourself. And really the biggest part is to develop the confidence in yourself and your ability to learn new skills so that you can take that out in the real world and apply it to not being afraid to try new things.
When my youngest son, who was the only one who was really truly athletic in the family, was on a swim team, a neighborhood swim team, there was one little boy who was not very talented in swimming, but he was on the swim team and he always finished. He was always the last one to finish, no matter what the race was, no matter who was swimming, but he always finished. And I remember telling my son, this is really important to watch this kid because he always finishes no matter what. And this was a child who actually grew up to become a Marine.
Oh,
and
how
he's
exciting.
Done quite well.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Yes, perseverance.
But it is interesting. It sounds like the current focus is also to find out what it is that you are good at, that there is hope that everybody must be good at something.
Exactly. There are such a variety of ways to be active, from dance to swimming to outdoor adventure types of activities, that there truly is something for everyone. And it's just really giving students the opportunity to experience that wide variety of things so that they can find their niche.
I'm not sure that it's important to be good at it as much as it's important to enjoy what you're participating in.
Exactly. We want students to be motivated to be active throughout their lifetime. They don't need to be the champion.
So should there be a difference in focus between elementary school and high school programs?
Oh, absolutely. Elementary school is the time for students to develop a good, solid skill foundation. So they should learn all about kicking and throwing and catching and all those basic skills that then they can use to diversify their activity participation in a variety of ways. High school is the last opportunity that we have to spend with children before they go out into the real world. So the focus there shifts to, okay, once I'm not a physical education student, what does that mean? What do I need to do to be active? If I'm going to work in a bank, which is not a very physically active job, then I need to supplement what I do in my personal time so that I can maintain a health-enhancing level of physical fitness. It's also a great opportunity for high school students to learn how to be good consumers of their health care. How do you shop for a gym? When you see all the ads on TV for all these diet pills and nutrition programs, how do you be a good consumer?
What part should parents play in all this?
Parents are critical to all aspects of their child's education, particularly physical education. First and foremost, they should become informed as to what kind of physical education their child has. Are they being taught by a certified teacher? How many minutes of PE are they getting in a week or in a day? Those kinds of things. And that's a conversation that they could have with their child's PE teacher or with the school principal. Those answers should be available from them. The other role that parents need to take is to really encourage their child to be active outside of the school day. The physical activity guidelines recommend 60 minutes of physical activity every day for children, and 30 minutes of that should come during the school day, but that leaves 30 minutes outside of the school day. So I would suggest that parents should walk or bike with their child to school. Not only does that provide an opportunity for family exercise, but it also gives them a chance to talk to their child and find out what they can expect in their day and on the way home, how their day went, what they learned at school, all those kinds of valuable conversations.
You can only do that up to a certain point. And then they want you to leave them a few blocks before school.
I know I have two teenagers. They won't admit they know me in public.
This must be hard. If you don't, for example, live within walking, biking distance to school, you have to figure out something else. And if, in addition to that, in the mix, you've got a child who's not particularly physically active.
Mm-hmm. Then it comes down to making it fun or even offering some type of incentive. One thing that my daughter had the opportunity to be part of as an elementary school student was a walking school bus. Because we live relatively close to our school, one mom who is a stay-at-home mom organized this walking school bus. So all of the kids in our neighborhood met at the gazebo on the corner, and she was in charge of walking them to school. So even though I was not able to be part of that because I'm a full-time working mom, I knew that my child was well-supervised and getting good exercise on her way to and from school.
That's fabulous. I've never heard of anything like that.
So that's another way that parents, if they're not able to walk their child to school every day, if they can coordinate with other parents to do things like that, or even if they can establish supervising points along the way. For example, if somebody is retired and they can just at least stand out on their porch and know that, you know, six kids are going to be walking at about this time each day. And just, it's really a way to also enlist the help of the people in the community.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on physical education for life.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $15 with your name, mailing address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Cheryl Richardson about Phys Ed for Life.
Now, I have a subversive question to ask here, and that is, if you have this child who doesn't get an opportunity to do physical activities or doesn't really want to do too much, what about household chores?
Oh, household chores are a great opportunity. Carrying the laundry basket up and downstairs is great exercise. Also, vacuuming, even dusting. Anytime you'd have the opportunity to be on your hands and knees, such as scrubbing the kitchen floor, that's great exercise, as well as chores out in the yard, such as raking, shoveling snow, as we had a wonderful opportunity to do lots of that this last winter, raking leaves, all those kinds of things.
I wonder about using music as a background for some kids who maybe like to move a lot to music or dance or that kind of thing for some of the household chores.
Oh, absolutely. Music is a great motivator for most of us. I know that's one way I get my own children moving is I will say, we are going to do this activity through two songs. You can pick the songs. So they will, you know, put it on their iPod and put it in the little speaker, and we will be active for two songs.
You already mentioned a role for the community with the idea of the walking school bus. Are there other ways the community can be involved in encouraging kids to move?
Oh, yes, in lots of ways. Not every physical education teacher is an expert in every area, so that's a great opportunity to enlist the help of community members to come into your school. For example, when I was teaching golf, I am certainly not a golf expert. However, we did have golf experts in the community, so they could come into the school and they could provide the content while I could make sure that, you know, the children were being safe and managing their behavior. And then in turn, we had the opportunity to go to the local golf course and practice those skills in a community setting. Another example is teaching skills that you know have a community tie. For example, frisbee golf or disc golf is becoming a very popular activity. And
you have to explain that. I've never heard of that.
The rules are similar to regular golf. However, you have, instead of a hole at the end, there is a basket and you have a frisbee. And you have a tee where you start and you throw the disc. Your score is the number of throws it takes you to get it to land in the basket. And then there's another tee. So there will be like a 9-hole golf course, just that like there would be for regular golf.
Is it as pretty as golf courses? That would be very nice.
Typically they are. And a lot of times you'll find disc golf courses in city parks. So they're free for use. I think one of the most fun parts of it is they actually make putters and drivers that in a disc. So you can have an entire golf bag with a series of discs that are weighted differently, so they're designed to fly different distances.
Oh, I know a husband who would
really love that.
But that's a great activity for families to do together, and a lot of times, like I said, it's free. So there's a skill that you can learn in your PE class, and then the teacher can help the students and the families make those connections to the community, so that the families can be active in those kinds of things together outside of school.
Now, here's another subversive question, and that is, all right, if we're involving the community, it seems like parents need to advocate for community spaces so that families and especially kids can go out and practice all these different life skills.
Oh, absolutely. With the development of more playground space, more green space, trails, so that kids have the opportunity to bike or run or inline skate in a safe way, you know, not on city streets. Yeah, the community is a very valuable resource.
We have gone through an awful lot of interesting information. Is there anything else that you would like parents to know that we haven't touched on?
Well, I think there's a simple way to remember a series of guidelines that are all related to childhood health, and that is 95210. And what that means is that your child each night should get at least 9 hours of sleep. The 5 represents the number of servings of fruits and vegetables your child should have each day. The 2 represents the maximum amount of screen time. And screen time, remember, includes computers, video games, and television. The 1 is for the hour of physical activity that they should be receiving every day. And 0 is for 0 sugary drinks.
I wish I had known those numbers when my children were little.
It's such a simple way to remember, and all of those aspects are vitally important to children being healthy and being successful in school. So it's just an easy way to remember.
It's much nicer than a zip code, and it has the same amount of digits. Well, it sounds like if we can only get ourselves to putting this as an important priority, that we can do a great service for the entire next generation.
Absolutely. Physical education is certainly as important as reading and math and spelling. And one must educate the body and the mind together. One doesn't work well without the other.
Well, we have to close at this point, but before we do, are there resources that you would suggest for people who'd like to pursue this topic further?
Absolutely. First of all, the letsmoveinschool.org website is a great place for parents to find resources about comprehensive school physical activity programs and steps that they can do to help build those kinds of programs within their school as well as within their community.
Any other websites, books?
The Centers for Disease Control has a wide variety of information related to lots of topics on your children's health, so that's always a great resource. And as part of that, the BAM website is the CDC's version that's designed for children. So there are lots of BAM. Yes, BAM.gov, I believe. There are lots of games or ways to teach health-related messages to kids in a fun way.
Well, Cheryl Richardson, you have done a great service for all of us by letting us know how important this aspect of our children's education is. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you again for having me. It's been my pleasure.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. And mention show number 440. And tell us, if you can, what station you're tuning into.
Visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org, where you can even listen to a show of your choice. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Today's program was made possible with generous support from our listeners. Our sound engineer is Clayton Turner. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.